W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios,
this is the WTH Podcast.
Oh, hi. Welcome into another episode of the WTH Podcast. We're still streaming on YouTube. If you're hanging out with us. Hi, Kevin. I believe he's the only one.
I think he is.
What up, Kev Dog?
There we go. All right.
All right.
Got all the camera shots back on there.
Bam.
Yeah, the app crashed out, so it was just
kind of a
weird thing, so I had to bring it back. But we're still streaming live on YouTube the whole time.
The whole time. Still doing it.
All good. Get all that going on. Anywho, it's the Monday episode.
You made it through the weekend.
Mm-hmm. You did. So if you're watching live, this show will be out next Monday. If you're not, hi.
Hello.
Coming up on the show today, Leslie Jones moving on.
What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got some anger at a fast food joint. And yep. And we answer the question, what, Jason?
What do we answer?
Do you order at the Blue Moose?
Is it some...
I'm down for moose soup after!
That's what I'm hoping it is.
It may or may not be that, but we'll find out all of those things as we go through the show. Plus the airing of the grievances, because it is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes! Yes! So, little different thing for us today, because as we're recording this, it's Labor Day, and we started at 8 a.m.
Yes.
Normally, we start at 7:30 p.m. We're starting at 8 a.m., so... It's a very, very different sort of experience getting everything squared away.
Could you have opened that any later, maybe in the podcast? I'm just kidding. Just fucking.
My fucking grievance.
Don't get sprayed.
Anyway, before we get into all of that, we've got some stuff to talk about, and there has been a warning issue. In Southern California that I think is important for you to know about.
Very ominous looking eye there, isn't it? The city of Corona has now issued what could be described as an unusual alert. Neighborhoods are being warned to watch out for aggressive wild pigs. NBC4's Tony Shin spoke to a woman who was chased by one.
A neighbor told me she was walking down this road that you see behind me when she saw something strange in those bushes over there. At first, she didn't know what it was.
In Sacramento, so completely different thing.
She pulled out her phone and started recording. Barbara Andrews shot this cell phone video of a wild pig last week as she was walking with her dog along Orange Heights Lane. But
okay, if you missed it, because Jason was delighted, she's recording it and she's like, Piggy.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Moments later, Barbara says that pig sighting turned scary.
Next time I looked up, there was this huge hog in front of me.
Barbara said her instinct.
Again,
was that the first time she's ever said that?
I mean, that's going to be a little bit more similar to what might happen in Sacramento.
Yeah.
There was a big hog in front of me.
Okay, so she spotted the pig in the bushes.
I thought she was talking about a big hog.
Yeah, and then this happened.
Turned scary.
Next time I looked up, there was this huge hog in front of me.
Barbara says her instinct was to run.
I was afraid for my dog, and I stopped and I looked back, and he was still coming.
Oh my God. Your dog is supposed to be for protection.
I guarantee it's a pocket dog.
Yeah, it's definitely a pocket dog.
But again, she saw this huge hog and it kept coming.
It kept coming.
So I started screaming and I just kept running. And
again, this is not a dirty story at all.
No.
I looked back again and he was still coming at me.
The pig eventually went the other direction, but Barbara was so shaken up by the incident, she called animal control. And the next day, officers darted the wild pig and brought it to Riverside County Animal Services.
Our friends at Fish and Wildlife say that these animals tend to keep to themselves. They don't want anything to do with us.
John Welsh says this pig may have been aggressive because it was frightened.
Yeah.
But neighbors say in recent months, wild pigs have become an issue in Southwest Corona. So much so that today, the city of Corona issued an alert warning people to stay away from wild pigs, especially adult pigs.
Because this is a very big animal. Some of them do have tusks.
Oh, man, that'll fuck you
up. A little kid's not going to do very well against a 100-pound animal that's charging at them. So parents should probably be on the lookout and alert.
Corona City officials say residents should stay calm if they see a wild pig and just slowly walk away. That's advice Barbara says she will take to heart if she runs into another one.
Just be aware, because knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
Hakuna Matata.
Pig should have run it in her butt.
Okay.
Come on. Why? She didn't do anything wrong.
I understand that people don't grow up around livestock and animals, but do we really need to issue an alert from the city to stay away from the wild animals? I mean, clearly we do.
Corona, you do. And yet they're like, you're talking about Corona, bro. Bunch of rich white, mostly white people.
Oh, look at the piggy. Come here, little piggy.
Well, I shouldn't say rich, but expensive lifestyle. It's a choice.
I mean, it's Orange County.
Yeah.
Pig doesn't want anything to do with you. Leave it the fuck alone.
Next time I looked up, there was this huge hog in front of me.
And that's how, like, most of Louis C.K.'s dates ended.
Right?
They end up on your forehead.
Oh, man.
Yes, and I said, Mr. Moonves, I have work to do.
And Mr. Lauer.
Mr. Lauer.
Though I heard that was more of like a piglet.
Oh, sick burn, dude.
Was
sick,
it a mushroom?
sick burn.
And now it's time for the airing of the f***ing grievances.
All righty. Jason, what's been bugging you?
Oh, man. So, like, there's this idea, like, I'm smoking meat. I've been smoking meat for, you know, since Christmas last year, right? So almost a year now. I just did my second brisket, and one of the things that they talk about is how you want to do it low and slow and how it gets the meat so tender. And like with the brisket, that's really important because there's a lot of collagen in it and you need to break it down to make sure that it's smooth and you want to keep it moist. So like on my forums, like I read so much like, and like everybody talks like, and there's been some guys that talk about doing it hot and fast. I'm like, man, no, like this is the real ways to do it is this way, right? Like the way you guys talk about like 12-hour, 15-hour cooks and stuff like that. But that's just difficult to do when you got a family and you're helping your wife, you know. So I was like, you know what? Let me try it this hot and fast style. Let me try to do it in my Weber and keep the heat between 325 and 375 and just cook it that way.
Doing it hot and fast.
Hot and fast.
That's what happens after you have wife and kids.
Yeah, that's what happens, right? You got to do it hot and fast. I mean, that describes so many parts of my marriage. Oh, man. I'm sorry if my in-laws are watching.
They're not. They may be listening, but they're not watching. Yeah.
So I did that. So I cooked it. I literally put it on at like 11:45 and I took it off at like 4:15. So like 4.5 hours, right? Or was that 5 hours? Yeah, it's like 5 hours, almost 4.5 hours, 5 hours. And it was fucking amazing. Like it was hella, like it was just flavorful. Like it did the bend test, you know, where like you cut it in like a slice and you can see it like it flexes right. I was just so astounded in like being able to cook that much meat that quickly. Listen, man, I turned around, there's a big hog in front of me. No, anyhow, So fuck all y'all talking about this fucking barking shit and how important that is. Like, I get it. I get it. You want to create this awesome fucking bark. But if I can do the same thing and get the same fucking taste in almost everything, like, I made one. I made one where I got that big bark and it was okay. But this was fucking so much better. I don't know if I'll ever go back the other way and do it again. I might do it a little bit longer. I might try to do like a 6-hour one, but this one turned out so perfect. Like, I don't know if I'd ever do it again. Like, and now I know that I can do it in like 5-6 hours, like to the table, and I cooked every piece of it. So fuck all y'all trying to talk this shit about doing 12-15 hour cooks. I ain't got time for it.
Kareem, what's up? What's up with you?
Let me see. I don't know if I touched this one last week, but back to the Chappelle special, and all these people who wrote articles canceling or trashing the special without actually watching it for context. Fuck you. You watched it to be offended. You didn't take into the fact that he actually put pretty much everything that he did in context. It was like this, the Carlin 7 words you can't say, the way he set it up. So, you didn't watch it to be offended. That's what you did. And you were looking for reasons to try to cancel him or say that he was out of touch. If you watch it and you watch the joke that he does about the LGBTQ community, he takes that joke and he works that joke from within the community. He doesn't do it as a bashing the community from the outside. He does it about the way that they treat each other, which is a joke that's written from somebody who actually has taken the time to understand how that community works. And so the fact that you would take you would ignore the fact that he's been around and within the community enough to understand how it works, and you just totally ignore that. Fuck you for being a selfish, shallow asshole.
Yeah, I mean that what is it, last half hour of the special, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you don't realize, if you watch it just to be offended, then you will turn it off after it's over or not watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
And not see him have a discussion with people, like, so, about it the whole.
So here's the thing. So one of the things is, I've seen him, I saw him in Sacramento, and he spent probably about 20 to 30 minutes having a conversation with a lesbian couple about their experience. Mm-hmm. He made the shit funny, but he was having a conversation with them. And I don't think that he just did that in Sacramento.
Probably not. I mean, The great thing about that is he didn't have to prepare material.
Right. He didn't. It was.
He's just going to show up. I mean, how great is that? You don't have to prepare a show. You just roll out to each town and just interview people.
Yeah. And the shit was amazing. So
of course.
So I'm saying, I've seen him work or actually have conversations with people like that to understand their experience. And you took the idea that he just went on stage to gay bash or trans bash, whatever. Fuck you. You're an asshole. You don't know enough about the amount of time that he put into what he did to even criticize it.
Well, and the conversations that he had.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he has a touching, like, conversation. I get it's just important. The episode, first of all, the title of the, like, it was funny because I didn't realize that that it had dropped until Kareem had told me that it dropped. But then you look at the title of it called Sticks and Bones, Sticks and Stones. Yeah. Like, that tells you a lot about what it's about in the first place. And that last 30 minutes, is it 30, 45 minutes? I mean, it's, it was long.
It's pretty much an hour.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's an hour of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so, you know, and there's some shit that you can be offended by that, you know, like, I watched it with my girlfriend last night, and to watch it with her, it's to watch it in a different way, because I watch her watching it.
Right.
And She laughed at most of it. There was some shit she didn't laugh at, which was like, okay, she didn't feel that part. But that gave me a gauge of how over the top it, you know, how much further past my sensibility it was,
right,
for regular people.
Well, the only thing is if you're watching something when you're tired or you're in a bad mood or whatever, sometimes you just don't take in that type of comedy in the right way.
Yeah.
Just because you're just not in the right mindset for it. All right. So my grievance is with John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders. I'm not a Raider fan. I know several people who are. I did watch the first three episodes of Hard Knocks. I have not seen the last two. They cut down, all the NFL teams cut down their rosters. The entirety of Hard Knocks was John Gruden talking about how much he loved Keelan Doss, who went to UC Davis. He's a wide receiver. And then they also profiled Luke Wilson, who is a tight end, who's Canadian. He was profiled on Hard Knocks pretty heavily. They cut both of those guys. So for John Gruden, who I find his act tiresome at this point, the caricature of him that Frank Caliendo does is perfectly dead on. And the fact that the caricature of him is just him is very telling. It's an act that's going to wear thin relatively quickly.
Yeah.
And you've signed him to a 10-year deal. But don't sit there for the entirety of Hard Knocks and just talk about how much you love Keelan Doss, and Keelan Doss keeps making big plays and he's great and blah, blah, blah. And then you cut him. And then they come back and go, yeah, but we may sign him to the practice squad. The practice squad?
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
The practice squad? We're supposed to get excited about the, oh yeah, he's on the practice squad?
Yeah.
Shut up.
He's just one big injury away from possibly being the next person to play.
Shut up. Oh my God. And then the Raiders, who already were keeping three quarterbacks, went out and signed or claimed DeShone Kizer.
You know, Gruden can fix him. He can make him a quarterback.
Well, what's he going to do with the other three guys? Is he going to make them quarterbacks?
He's going for the four quarterback setup. I don't know if you've seen this before, but they have four quarterbacks all lined up and they all play.
I mean, unless he's planning on making DeShone Kizer a wide receiver.
This guy's a joke. The owner of the Raiders is a fucking joke. This guy, when he was in Tampa Bay, they won one Super Bowl. He won that Super Bowl with all of the players that Tony Dungy had got to the the championship the year before. And they played the team whose playbook he designed.
Yeah.
Of course, you were supposed to beat them.
Mm.
But he did not develop a quarterback in his whole time in Tampa Bay.
No.
So, therefore, if you got taken or sold to Bill Goods because his name was Gruden and he fought Al Davis, you deserve what you get.
I'm going to tell you this. My grievance is with John Gruden because I'm tired of him. He had that thing in Tampa, and then he went on ESPN where he brought in these college quarterbacks. Let me break down your game for you, and you're great, and I love you, and blah, 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 blah. He's just shoveling bullshit.
Yeah.
He's a bullshit salesman, and you're buying it, and that's my grievance.
So do you think that Al Davis's son just, like, got Gruden back because he's, like, doesn't like daddy?
Yeah. That's it.
Well,
that haircut tells me that he doesn't like daddy.
That bowl haircut.
Daddy did not want his son in charge of the Raiders.
That's probably not a bad thing either.
No,
that's a fact. He did not want his son in charge of the Raiders.
And look at their. Oh man.
So he did a fuck you to dad from the grave.
Yep. That haircut.
Yeah.
Fuck you to everybody's eyes. Anyway, Leslie Jones is moving on. The SNL standout is leaving the sketch program after five seasons to pursue a slew of film and TV projects. Deadline can reveal that one of the projects is Supermarket Sweep, a reboot of the classic TV game show that Jones will be hosting and executive producing.
Yes!
Basically, The revival from Fremantle Entertainment has been generating a lot of interest in multiple networks bidding on it, both traditional broadcasters and streamers. The list includes ABC, NBC, Fox, and Netflix.
You know what? I just want to say fuck all of them, because this is one of those things where a lot of people talk shit about Guy Fieri, but it's his show that he's had on Food Network for like the last like couple of years that's really, I think, sparked the interest in this show again, because that show has been on, what, for like 3 years, I think now, 4 years, and it's pretty much Supermarket Sweep, but they have to cook.
ABC has already got a lineup of classic game shows, including Match Game, which is hosted by Alec Baldwin, Celebrity Family Feud with Steve Harvey, To Tell the Truth with Anthony Anderson. And Jones is going to actually appear on the revival of the $100,000 pyramid, facing off against Rosie O'Donnell. Jones, meanwhile, NBC would like to keep her in the fold. She became a household name with her stint on SNL and her work for the network covering the two most recent Olympics. That might be the thing that keeps her at NBC. She mm-hmm. loves the Olympics.
Yeah.
And she can keep doing that Olympic thing.
And then there was Elizabeth Banks has Press Your Luck.
Yes.
And yeah. Joe McHale has another one.
Yeah. Their game shows are back.
And Dax. Yeah. Dax has The Wheel.
Oh, God.
You don't like The Wheel?
I don't know why.
You just don't like Dax?
No, he's fine. That show's dumb.
Yeah. Like, the fact that it takes an hour just to do one person, it's like, I fucking hate that shit. Like,
well, and I'm watching it on Hulu with no commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm still like, all right, enough of this.
Yeah. Cause they reiterate every time after they come back.
Yeah.
For like 5 minutes.
All right. So Donald Trump only hires the best people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's hired another one who has mugshots.
Really?
Yep. His new press secretary.
Oh, yeah.
there are her two mugshots from 2013 and 2015. Her name's Stephanie Grisham. She succeeded Sarah Huckabee Sanders as she's got a pair of drunk driving collars on her rap sheet, which, as you know, Jason, would disqualify you from any respectable employment.
Well, if they had happened within 2 years of each other, yes.
Yeah, she was first nabbed for drunk driving in January of 2013 in Gilbert, Arizona. She was driving on a suspended license, too, pulled over for speeding while behind the wheel of an SUV, whose other passenger was a tipsy 25-year-old man.
Oh, she's getting ready to get that dick.
Yeah.
she wanted that 25-year-old dick.
During the 11:30 p.m. stop, cops noted that her breath smelled of booze, her eyes were bloodshot, and she swayed while taking a field sobriety test. She denied consuming any alcohol, but said she had taken a Xanax 90 minutes earlier and a Zoloft the prior night.
Oh, yeah.
But the blood test revealed her blood alcohol content to be 0.105.
Oh, I was just barely drunk over the legal limit, guys.
Plus,
come on.
Plus the Xanax.
Plus some Xanax.
When told that her license had been suspended in August 2012 for failure to answer a traffic citation, she denied knowledge of the citation, adding that she was on tour with the Romney campaign.
Man, I'm sure Mitt loved that.
Yeah, right. Her second arrest came in December 2015, so almost 2 years apart. Almost 3 years apart when she was busted by Phoenix police. She failed to appear at a court hearing in 2016, prompting a city court judge to issue an arrest warrant. As with her initial criminal case, she pleaded guilty to a DUI count, ordered to pay $1,500 in court costs and fines. And her 2016 conviction came as she was working as a press aide for Trump's presidential campaign. Now, in addition to her new press secretary post, she also serves as Trump's communications director. She initially worked for the White House press office under Sean Spicer, but was hired in March 2017 by Melania Trump to be her communications director. So only the best people.
What high profile job could I get while being convicted of a DUI?
Two DUIs.
Within 3 years of each other.
Right.
I mean, while I'm in the process of getting a job.
Right. Oh yeah. I'm yeah, right now. Yeah. Right now, yeah. It's happening now. But we'll see.
I mean, the thing is, I just don't get it, because like, you can't drive. Well, I mean, Arizona might be different with their laws. So with a second DUI though, and if it had been that close, you'd be restricted for, I think, almost 2 years. I know for a year for sure you wouldn't be able to drive. Which limits most jobs.
Well, look, she didn't know.
Yeah, fuck, man. That's all I can say is hopefully she's found the help that she needs and the solution that's out there for her.
It's called Uber.
Yes.
Uber.
Or just maybe she has a drinking problem. Not that I am to judge, but generally when you've had two DUIs within 3 years, it tells you that that's not normal because most people don't get DUIs.
Here comes the judge.
Hi, only the best people. So last week, Republican Representative Sean Duffy announced that he was resigning from Congress because his wife, Fox News commentator Rachel Campos Duffy, is pregnant with the couple's 9th child, and the child is facing health issues that will require open heart surgery after she is born. So, of course, right-wing host Jesse Lee Peterson, our old friend, felt the need to weigh in on the whole thing. And he's got a very interesting take on this.
His wife is having a 10th child. And as a result, they did some type of test while the baby is still in the womb. And they found out that the baby has heart problems. And that apparently, the baby's going to have surgery or something, whatever, to correct the problem. But this guy, Sean Duffy, is stepping down from his job because of that. Beta male! But that's not what take the cake.
Beta male!
But that's not what takes the cake.
Did you see Jason perk up when he yelled beta male?
Yeah.
Fucking hate that, man.
I knew it would not be the first time you'd heard the term.
No, man, I mean, like, here's another fucking incel for you. Here's another men's right activist. Here's another guy that just does not get a fucking clue.
Where the fuck do we get all these names from?
Yeah.
From the fucking incels, man. They're the ones that came up with this whole fucking idea of alpha and beta males. Like, well,
no, alpha males have been around for a long time.
No, but no, the idea of what the beta male is compared to an alpha male. No,
it's this generation. They have a name for every goddamn thing.
Yeah, we got to label it. Well, conservatives have been really good about labeling shit. Yeah. That's what they do. And
this is our generation, guys, that are doing the beta.
But get ready for his logic.
What tastes the cake? Is that his wife, let me see his wife again, has 9 children. Let me see another picture of her. 9 children.
Uh-huh.
With him, apparently.
Okay.
And she's working. She's one of the Fox News commentators or something like that. And so my question is, what kind of a woman would be married to a man who can provide? Because this man is a congressperson, I believe. He can provide for the family. Why does she have to work?
Okay, first of all, motherfucker. First off, a congressperson does not get paid shit. Comparatively, and barely enough to raise that many fucking kids.
Maybe you shouldn't have all them goddamn kids.
Right? Maybe do it for fun once in a while?
Oh, my God. But I mean, like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Okay.
And we don't live, like, what fucking world? Man.
Well, we've still got more.
Okay, let's hear it.
Why doesn't she stay home, be a wife, a mother, and help raise the children?
Man, she probably
and
is.
Now this guy has to step down. Because this baby apparently has some issues, according to what's being reported. My thing is, the man need to continue working. The woman can stay home and deal with whatever issues that need to be done. The man can help out, inform, or whatever he needs to do, but he shouldn't quit his job for that. I guarantee you she's making him do it.
He's been there with all the conversations, everyone, so he knows. He heard them discussing it. Get the fuck out of here.
You did not hear him yell beta male?
Yeah, right.
At the beginning?
He's one of them. He's on their side, Jason.
Oh, I know, man. And that's how he's dealing with people that are on there. He's just pissed off that's another seat that's going to go to a fucking Democrat.
Well, that's the thing, is incumbents get reelected at a staggering rate.
Right.
So if you're looking at districts that may flip,
yep,
ones where a Republican holds the seat and is stepping down are vulnerable.
Yep. So that's why he's beta male.
Beta male. I need to get that drop.
Like, I just don't. Yeah, you do need to get that drop. Just like the hog drop too. Yeah. You need to get those two drops. I mean, like, jeez, man. Like, the whole idea of, like, a beta. Oh, man. It's just, I once fell into the hole of reading about these incels and shit like that. And, like,
but it's not just the incels. Like I said, it's the whole generation that have come up with all these fucking labels.
Everything needs to be labeled. And again, conservatives are big about labeling things. But so are liberal people are very big about this. It's like, oh, and we have to call it this. We have to call it this.
Yeah,
like,
where the fuck did we come up with this cisgendered? What all of
I'm not giving. I'm not even going to dip my toe into that.
That whole thing came out as like
all of this bullshit.
That all came out of the DSM manual, like, and them figuring out that type of stuff and it becoming part of that. So that's why that's there. And those terms,
manual,
the DSM, that's what they use for doctors and stuff like that, the medical terminology and things of that nature. So that's where all that stuff comes from. So that's why that's all scientific talk and easier to explain to people than, you know, just telling them, oh yeah, well, you're normal. You're what society considers normal.
You can't say normal.
Yeah. Well, that's
the reason there's a term is if you say normal, it basically infers that someone who is transgendered is not normal.
Or somebody that's gay is not normal.
Right.
Somebody that is not, or somebody that is, you know, presents as one. So that's why all those terms, but the whole beta stuff, that's all about controlling a dialogue of why guys can't get laid. Like, oh, because all these beta males like are talk to these women and they submit to them and they're not truly like all about, you know, being alpha and telling them what to do. I mean, like the whole idea of what it is and why they call people beta men. Like, I'm definitely beta. They would definitely call me beta.
We know.
But then they also have like other terms for like I don't think it's there's another term for the guys that the incels that they call themselves. Like, it's a big culture of downing on themselves and like talking shit about, like, you know, oh well, you know, just because my ear's, you know, five millimeters lower than the other ear, why I'm not. I mean, I'm serious. They say shit.
What
like
is going on with white men?
They're getting scared about people like this that are definitely not white having that many kids. I mean, and when they're just pissed off because they're not getting laid. That's why they don't understand why they're not getting laid.
The poison doesn't get out.
Duffy,
when you don't get the poison out.
Because Duffy is definitely white.
And so is his wife.
Is it? Are they?
Yeah.
She looks like she might be, like, they might have a little.
No, she's just tan.
Just really tan?
Okay, that chick was on like the first Real World.
Oh, was she?
Yes. They were on the first Real World.
Were they?
Yes.
Oh, man.
So at this point, they probably shouldn't still be having kids.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who are we to fucking tell somebody to have kids or not to have kids?
Bruh.
But the idea of like the beta, like.
I'm not talking about the beta male. I'm talking about health of a child.
I know, right? Yeah, that's true.
I'm talking about health of a child, period. Point blank, period.
Mm-hmm. 1994, she was on The Real World San Francisco.
Yeah. Wow.
She's 47.
Yeah.
She's 47 years old.
And they already had a bunch of kids.
And they already had, that's selfish on both of their parts.
Yeah.
Because that's not thinking about the kid at fucking all.
This will be their ninth.
Yeah.
Man, there's a surgery that could have happened.
Right.
Well, multiples actually, one on him, one on her.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Plenty of ways. Yeah. No. I agree with you there. Yeah. But at the same time, you know,
you're 47 fucking years old having a kid. I could understand if you're 47 years old and you had fertility problems and could never have had a kid, and there's a way for you to have a kid now. I get that. But you already got 8 fucking kids.
It's a lot of kids. Well, yeah, it's a lot of kids.
Yeah. Like, if you wanted another kid, you could have fucking adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, and, no, without a doubt, they could have adopted.
Yeah. So, here's the, we got a picture of them from.
She was on the.
San Francisco.
And she's a Republican?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a breakthrough season, too, man. That was the one with that one guy that.
Oh, yeah. She loved him.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, she loved Puck.
Oh, yeah.
So
whatever happened to him?
Yeah, who cares? Meanwhile, in Louisiana, there's a right-wing candidate for governor who went on a local radio show. Now, the first thing that happened is someone called in and used a bad word, which is not okay. I mean, we use bad words on the podcast.
Right. Certain bad words we don't use.
Some we don't use, but...
at least you and I, Nate, don't use.
I mean, Kareem does. But to go ahead and someone called in because they don't like him, which I understand, but no need to cuss.
It breaks my heart to have to sit them down and explain to them every time, I don't care because I'm a piece of shit like Gary Landrieu.
Hey, no person, man.
By the way, this lady that hosts this show...
Man,
her voice, I don't even know how you choose to have that coming out of your radio. Just the level and the tone. Not to shame women in their voices, but this woman, her speech pattern is just a lot.
Really?
You see what we go through?
Let me tell you something. Hey, guess
what? You know what? Growing up in a family of 10 means? You can't hurt my feelings because I don't have any.
It doesn't matter. We have a guest here, and we're on a show.
It doesn't matter. Listen.
You don't call in disrespect.
No, they do. They period. Do. But guess what? He's really the...
Dude, I got to tell you, if you got your 8-year-old kids watching the news at night, you got problems.
No. Yeah, the news is scary. I don't even want to watch it sometimes.
He watches the purple...
The news is scary. Even I don't want to watch it sometimes.
You don't watch the news.
Dinosaur, and he watches the YouTube channel.
Oh, my God. But
let's flip this around, because, you know, there are people who really do think that about the Landrieus.
Which is what?
What the dude said.
That, well, you know...
With the curse word.
You're entitled to your opinion. That's what makes America great. You're free to do what you want and say what you want and think what you want. But you know what? But I'm free to do and say what I want to do, too.
I know, Gary, but it's a serious problem.
You do that to my face, you're going to get slapped in the mouth.
Okay, and I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. People come up to me all the time.
Yeah, I get a lot of that on my Facebook page.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remind them how brave they are behind their Facebook screens.
Right.
He gets a lot of that on Facebook. Could it maybe be that
you're a jerk?
That you are in fact a piece of shit?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like
you might have something to do with it.
You might be.
I have a feeling that in the next 32 seconds, I'm going to find out that he is really a piece of shit.
Well, you might find out something about him.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody's very brave behind the keyboard.
Let me tell you, when I was a kid, we learned about protecting ourselves and defending ourselves because we were called a lot of ugly names as children. You know,
were you?
Yeah. You asked Jeff to give you that email I sent over here. You can read it.
Really?
Damn Landrieus and the Jay Landrieus. As 8-year old, they call me. Oh, guess the nigga lovers right there.
Hey, you can't curse.
I'm sorry. I can't say that.
No.
Oh. Hey.
No.
What? I can't say that. is the N-word cursing technically? I mean, it's not okay to say.
It's not technically cursing.
That's why it was not in Carlin's 7 dirty words.
Well, it's not one of the 7 dirty words. It's one of the racist words.
It was not one of Carlin's 7 dirty words.
No, it's one of the racist words.
Once again, let's hear him drop it in their reaction.
Oh, guess the nigga lovers right there.
Hey! You can't curse.
I'm sorry, I can't say that?
No.
No!
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't say that?
I thought this was one of the right channels where I could say that.
All right. So quickly moving on. This happened in a fast food joint. I'm not sure which fast food joint because it's unclear. It's on Twitter. But there's a very angry girl at a fast food joint.
Right your fucking now, and I want everybody's motherfucking name. How about that? Okay. How about girl, you name? You don't know me!
Ma'am, I'm so sorry. Please don't play into her. She's underage. Please don't play into her.
She left! She blessed! Okay? I want my sandwiches. Make my fucking sandwiches. Make my motherfucking sandwiches!
Her food. Over mine. Get her goddamn food. Now
I'm like, fuck sweet.
As a Popeyes.
Not a Popeyes.
It is a Popeyes.
It says Louisiana.
Yeah, it's a Popeyes. I mean, Jason felt the need to yell that over the yelling woman. I mean, we could have cleared that up after. But I mean, that the craziness over the sandwich has to stop.
Well, they discontinued the sandwich, man.
What is wrong with these people?
Very, very angry.
Look, if you're that angry.
Again, Kareem, black on black crime.
You need some blessed oil. Your blessed oil ain't working. God damn.
If you're working in a fast food joint, you already have enough stuff to deal with. You shouldn't have to deal with someone being an asshole.
Like trying to afford rent. No.
Take your ass home and make a sandwich your goddamn self and stop going into the establishment causing these problems.
Right? I mean,
like, we just saw you guys deliver.
Write your money now! And I want everybody's motherfucking name! How about that? Okay. How about girl, you know my ass? You don't know me!
Ma'am, I'm so sorry. Please beat her ass! She's underage.
Someone's trying to apologize to someone screaming like that.
Yeah. How about that?
The proper answer is, ma'am, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Get the fuck out.
Ma'am, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Do you know why? Because you are a goddamn problem.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. Wrapping this up, and we'll answer the question, what do you order at the Blue Moose?
Oh.
Down for moose soup after.
Can't wait.
What do you order when you go to the Blue Moose? When that question was posed to some bridge players after a game this week. Oh, but that's Marilyn Haggerty.
Of course, Grand Forks. Yeah.
The answers were varied and lively. The first response came loud and clear. Chicken Meisner.
Is that a chicken that like you eat and you feel what it's been feeling because like it's using its past, you know, in order to like make itself the best chicken it can.
There were then votes for an assortment of favorite foods at the Moose. There were preferences for the walleye, the chopped chef salad. Someone said the Swiss burger is absolutely delicious. Mm. Eventually, we got back to the chicken Meisner that's named after one of the chefs, Bruce Meisner. It's a lightly breaded chicken breast stuffed with prosciutto ham and gorgonzola cheese. For $15, it's served over jasmine rice and topped with gorgonzola cream sauce. The Blue Moose is one of the largest restaurants in the area. The decor is Northwood style.
Northwood style.
Mm-hmm. The interior is finished with logs and light wood.
Oh, okay.
This time of year, customers are drawn to the outdoor tables overlooking the Red River to the north. There's seating for 60 on the deck, and including the dining and lounge areas, along with the upper level's dining room, the Moose can hold 360.
Wow.
This summer, the Moose at the main entry is welcoming customers with a fresh coating of bright blue paint. With the opening of UND and Harvest underway, there's a feeling of anticipation and autumn on the way. Seating on the deck will continue as long as weather permits. One wasp that liked my oriental salad drove me inside this week. Oh, Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Nevertheless, most outdoor diners were at ease, and managers say outdoor service continued last year through September.
Wow.
The Moose has become an institution in East Grand Forks, outliving the former Whitey's.
Yay.
A cafe that was a destination. For decades, the destination place, the Moose started out on the south side of the Demers Avenue. Then during the flood of 97, it closed for 40 days.
Ooh, and then 40 nights. Mm-hmm.
At the time, the original owner said they were building a dike on the wrong side of us.
Hey, that's not safe. Hey, we can't say that on the air.
The whole building, except for the kitchen, was then moved to its present location. After the move by the Blue Moose, they were building the dike on the wrong... Oh, my God. It's the same quote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He said it. He said it not once, but twice.
Apparently.
They're building the dike on the wrong side of us.
Mm-hmm. He credited some of the newfound success to the coming of Cabela's to East Grand Forks, and he was looking forward to a new theater operation in the nearby mall. In case you're wondering, the Blue Moose Bar and Grill...
Now later for moose soup.
Mm-hmm. 507 2nd Street Northwest in East Grand Forks. Reservations 218-733-6516. Call today. They are open 11 to 11 Monday through Thursday and with 1 a.m. weekend closings. The owner is Patrick Boppery, general manager, and Nathan Shepherd is the chef.
Oh, Nathan. Mm-hmm. He's a good chef.
Sure. The report card with seating for more than 360 on the deck. The Blue Moose is one of the largest restaurants in Greater Grand Forks. An inviting variety of offerings and wide range of prices appeals to customers of all ages. The average tab ranges from $10 to $15 for lunch and $16 to $25 for dinner. The service is generally good, friendly.
That's not a ring endorsement.
I mean, unless you get that one girl, Tiffany. Yeah.
But if you get Nathan, you know, he'll make you a good hip. dip and mattress sandwich.
Yeah, there was that one. There was that one time.
Dirty bitch.
Yeah. Sir's generally good, and yeah. You
know, damn it.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah, one time I had this one, and she just couldn't get it right. She just kept fucking it up.
It's true.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us for this episode of the WTH Podcast. Thanks for listening. Whether you're downloading the podcast or watching the live stream, whatever you may be doing, I hope it was a good one for you. Hope you had a great week, and we will see you next time. Fresh new show on Wednesday.
See you next time.
See you then. Bye.